This is the last in a series of lessons on the subject of the inspiration of the Scriptures. If you haven't listened to the other previous lessons, I encourage you to do so. You know, it's not uncommon for people to challenge or even attack the inspiration of the Word of God. Many times, attacks like this are rooted in ignorance, a lack of education, or a lack of concern for the truth. There are a lot of people in this religious world who deny that the Bible is an inspired document given to us by God. We need to be very careful what we're reading about the Bible, because there are a lot of people that write commentaries, articles, devotionals, Facebook posts that just don't respect the inspiration of the Scriptures. We cannot remain silent about the inspiration of the Bible, and we need to be very careful that we're not weak in our defense of it. Now, if we ask religious people if the Bible is inspired, many will say yes. But what do they mean when they say it's inspired? Some wrongly believe that God inspired the thoughts within individuals, but allowed each prophet to choose in their own thinking how best to express his divine thoughts. But what does the Bible say? The Bible, which is from God, teaches that God not only gave individuals his thoughts, but that he also selected and revealed the very words used to express his thoughts accurately. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Let's answer the question, what did the apostle say about his preaching and writing? Now we're not going to examine every text that Paul ever wrote. We are going to look at some select passages about what he wrote. And also on the screen, if you're using the YouTube video, the slides, some of these texts are abbreviated to express a particular point about that particular reference in Scripture. I encourage you to use your own Bible, to read in the Bible the very words we're going to be studying, so that you have a better understanding of what God is saying through the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul says that the gospel message that he preached was in fact given to him by revelation. Paul was writing this letter to the Galatian churches because some of the brethren were departing from the gospel. They were leaving the good news of salvation to go to another message which would separate them from God and condemn them eternally to hell if they continued in it. And so he said in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." And so Paul, to those who are considering abandoning the gospel, reminds them where the gospel, the good news of salvation, came from. He says in verse 11 and 12, "I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." By revelation, the apostle means that it is, in fact, a message selected and given by God himself so that mankind can be saved through this message and work of Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and consider Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. You see, the good news, that is the gospel of God's plan of salvation, was once hidden. It was a mystery to all of mankind. And it was during the first century that God determined the time was right to reveal and to deliver the gospel to all. And he chose to do so through his Son, who sent the Holy Spirit to reveal the divine word through chosen prophets. And so we read these words by the pen of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 beginning. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Three times the apostle declares that what he preaches is a matter of inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And the divine purpose for this word of God is that when we read it, we can understand it. Now, it's absolutely amazing to think about the fact that God, who is our creator and sustainer, has chosen to speak to us through his word. And I suggest to you, if you're honest about who we are in God's plan, who we are in relation to God as our creator, that he is able and that he is willing to communicate to us as his creation. As we studied previously, Jesus Christ promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to the apostles to reveal all truth, to bring to their remembrance all things, that he would in fact be a helper and a guide to them in revealing the Word of God. And you can refer to those in previous lessons in this series. You can also read in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 about Jesus' promise to the apostles on the night in which he would be betrayed. The Holy Spirit, who is from God, has done what no man can do. Job's friend Zophar, back in Job chapter 11, was incorrect about a lot of what he said, but he did ask a good question in Job chapter 11, verse 7, in which he asked Job, "Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty?" Well, the answer is no. Job and Zophar and all other creation, that is, mankind, cannot search the deep things of God or know the mind of God unless God reveals it. And so we read these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul saying that God has revealed them, that is, the Word to us, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Let's tie this together with what we just read a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said, "This gospel message which I reveal, it reveals the mystery of God, a mystery that was once hidden, but now has been made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." And again, Paul said that when you read these things, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Amazing to think about what God has done for us in revealing his mind, the very deep things even of his thinking. This is what the New Testament teaches us about inspiration. Now let's continue thinking about what the Apostle Paul says about his preaching and writing as he writes to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we want to notice the words of the apostle in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Paul is speaking here of the source of his message. Where did I get my information? Where did I find this knowledge? Where did I receive this which I've shared with you, which you've accepted? Well, what the apostle is doing is confirming that the faith of the brethren is genuine and it is well placed because it is in God and it is from God. They received the word of God, which was preached by the apostle Paul. He approaches it from the negative and then the positive, saying, "You welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Paul then goes on to say that the word which was received accomplishes God's work in God's way. He says in the text we just read, "The word of God effectively works in you who believe." It's the same word which was preached then that is preserved in the Bible and can be preached today, and when it is received by believers today, it can effectively work in all who believe. So do you believe? Have you received? And is it effectively working in you? This is what's possible by the inspiration of God through His Word when we come to it and approach it as it is the Word of God. And that's very important because a lot of people will just say we're making too big a deal of this inspiration business, that it really doesn't matter whether we agree or disagree about the source of this document or whether it's just the thoughts or actual words. I'll tell you, it matters very much because we have to believe to the point of confidence and obedience. And if we don't have a confidence that this is, in fact, the very Word of God delivered accurately, then it loses its force, and our lives will suffer because of it, not only in this life, but especially in the life that is to come. And so we've thought a little while about what the Apostle Paul has said. Let's now consider, what did the Apostle Peter say about Paul's writing? Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's take a look at something that Peter wrote about Paul. You'll remember that Paul and Peter have had a history together, and that is that Peter was one of the original apostles chosen by Jesus personally while he was in the flesh. Paul is said is one who was born out of due time. He is an apostle appointed by Jesus Christ personally after Jesus has died and been resurrected, ascended to heaven, and appeared to him on a road in Damascus. The Apostle Peter was one who was with Jesus physically upon the earth during those 3 to 3.5 years. Paul was not with Jesus at that time. In fact, when we're first introduced to Paul in the book of Acts, he is an opponent of Christ, an opponent of the Lord's church. But we find that Peter, who proclaimed the gospel, understands and recognizes that Paul, who has come to an understanding of the truth from Jesus Christ, has obeyed that truth and is upholding that truth. We're given a demonstration of the interaction between Paul and Peter and Paul's commitment to the truth as he stands up to Peter in his hypocrisy. Peter, you'll remember briefly, was hypocritical with regards to how he treated his Gentile brethren, and that even caused other Jews, like Barnabas, to act hypocritically as well. Well, Paul stood for the truth. Paul stood up to Peter and dealt with him appropriately. Here, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we find the Apostle Peter, many years later, writing about Paul and writing of Paul's words, what he has done in his writings. And he says of Paul, this is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Now Peter here, someone who is aware of what it's like to be led away with the error of wicked, warns these brethren to whom he's writing about being led away by the deceitful efforts of those who twist Paul's words to their own destruction. Peter also recognizes and acknowledges here that there are, in fact, some hard things to understand with regards to the subject of salvation, and they're revealed in Paul's epistles. I think it's worth pointing out that the Apostle Peter does not say that within Paul's epistles there are some hard things which cannot be understood. No, he doesn't say it's impossible to understand these things. He said it's hard to understand. It requires some maturity. And I believe that's what we're told in the Scriptures about being fed on the meat and not just the milk. But you know, Peter then clarifies why he mentions these difficult things. He said, because there are those who are untaught and unstable. What do? Well, they twist the words of Paul. And the result of their efforts to twist Paul's writings, he says, is their own destruction. Now, to our point, when Peter speaks of Paul's writing, He identifies them with the rest of the Scriptures. Paul's writing can lead to eternal life. Twisting them leads to destruction. Paul's writings are associated, identified with the rest of the Scriptures. Paul has said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Therefore, Peter identifies Paul's writing as Scripture, confirming that Paul wrote by inspiration, that these very words that are recorded for us in this divine document are the words given by God to these apostles and prophets. Now, there are some in this world who try to say otherwise. But let's remember, they're not speaking for God if they say something that is contrary to what God has said in His Word. As our Lord asked of John's baptism, I'm going to now ask you, of your thinking and ideas of inspiration, where was it from? With regards to your understanding and your thinking about inspiration, is it from heaven or from men? The answer will determine very much how you approach the Word of God. Now, some may say, well, what's the big deal what I believe about the inspiration of the Bible? Again, what you believe about this one subject will directly affect how you approach the Word, the Bible. If you don't believe that this is from God, then you will not study and apply it for what it truly is. Thinking that God gave the thoughts and allowed individual prophets to fill in their own words, that reduces the precision and the divine force of the Word as it is, in fact, truly given by God. So I ask you to honestly, sincerely, and with great effort, study the Word of God. Examine it, test it, prove it. The Bible teaches us that God not only gave individuals His thoughts, but that He also has selected and revealed the very words used to express His thoughts accurately. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, He has said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you do not believe that the Scripture, all Scripture, is given by the breath of God, then you will not profit from it. And I want you to profit from it. God wants you to profit from it, not in some earthly and carnal way, but in your spirit, so that you may be a man of God, complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Understand the truth of prophecy, of inspiration, of the Word, because as Peter said, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If we believe the Bible is, in fact, the inspired Word of God, then we ought not only obey it, but we also ought to share it. And when we share it, we can be sure that there will be some who will accept the gospel and obey it to their salvation. But we can also be certain that some will just challenge us when we present the truth found in God's Word. And that's one reason why we need to be educated in these fundamental truths, so that we can not only be strong in our own faith, but that we can help people come to a knowledge of the truth and obey it for themselves. Now, if you'd like to study more about this subject, or you have a question about the Word of God as it pertains to your salvation, then please let us know so that we might help you come to a better understanding and application of God's Word today. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.